Robin McCarron.
You know, we had some feedback from our last show.
Okay.
Episode 94. More than one person told me or spoke to others and said that I was a little rude to you, cutting you off, not letting you get picks in, forgetting your existence, really.
Jeff Hawkins.
I'm being trolled. Hold right now,
Jeff,
aren't I?
Jeff, wait. Wait, I have breaking news coming into the news desk here.
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Daniel, have you ever seen a ghost?
So, Rob, looks like you are the master of good decision making.
I am.
Yes.
How?
Flow Sports VP Toby Mergler has been fired, according to multiple PW Torch sources close to the situation.
Is that true?
Mergler, who made all the numerous duties for Flow Sports DP, made all the content deals for Flow Slam. Boom.
Yikes. Flow Slam's a weird thing, man. Like, I'm not sure exactly if I have a non-disparage agreement yet, or I don't, or I do, or I'm not sure. I signed a whole bunch of pieces of paper, but then I never started the job, so I don't know what's okay. In effect or what's
well, then
not.
We should move on then.
Flow Slam's such a weird thing, man. Like, it could have been really cool. It's definitely not cool right now. There's no buzz. There's nothing good about it. Short of you can watch Evolve shows for less than you could have before. But I mean, it's definitely not what it could have been. And I remember going in there and talking about, oh, how cool this could have been, and talking with Jeremy Botter, and you know, this could be like an amazing thing. And then everything just fell apart. And I felt so weird after I got back. Like, it didn't help that I got back on election day, and it was like, man, I don't know about this. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know about this. But have you ever been to these bar trivia gimmicks?
No, because I sleep.
Yeah, that's right. You should, and that's probably a good choice. I mean, we just got back.
I've done it once or twice. Yeah. I've kind of, you know, I like them, but at the same time, it's also why I don't believe collectivism works in most ways. Because it's like, no, it's always the time when I'm certain I have the answer that someone decides that they're no, that's not right. I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is correct, and that's the time they want to argue.
Yeah. So,
man,
there's this local bar here, and there was trivia night tonight, and we were both off, and we went to trivia, and we sucked. I mean, first off, we did not do well. Not a hot start. First question was, what state is Harrisburg the capital of? Do you know this one?
Harrisburg is, I want to say Pennsylvania, but
yeah,
you know.
That's the thing. Everyone wants to say Pennsylvania to the point where you think there's no way it's Pennsylvania.
And like, it's Pennsylvania.
That seems too easy. It's Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, maybe West Virginia? Like, I don't know what the capital of West Virginia is. Maybe it's West Virginia. Meanwhile, she's like, it's Pennsylvania, you idiot. I'm like, no,
wow.
I'm gonna put West Virginia.
Wait, hold on. People are calling you idiots at bar trivia. That's a bad sign because it's supposed to be fun.
Oh, it was just the wife and I. She can call me an idiot. It's okay. No, she wasn't doing that. It was fun. Like, she's like, I think Pennsylvania. And I'm like, no, I am the man. Let me explain to you. It's West Virginia. And of course, it was Pennsylvania. Who would have known? Who would have known? It was impossible to know. It was really impossible to know.
Charleston's the capital of West Virginia.
Yeah, I mean, we know that now.
Oh, do you?
And then you start thinking like, okay, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, there's so many big cities in Pennsylvania. I mean, maybe Scranton is the capital. Maybe Wilkes-Barre is the capital. No.
You know what it is? It's that SAT thing where they say,
yeah.
You know,
oh,
what,
yeah.
You'll outthink yourself sometimes and just go with your first instinct.
Go with your first instinct. Well, especially because, okay, Philadelphia was our national capital at one point, right? In the U.S. I'm like, okay, maybe that's not why it's the state capital. And who the fuck would go to Pittsburgh? Nobody.
Let me ask you a wrestling related question.
Wrestling. First of all, wrestling is silly. Don't you agree? I mean, wrestling's really silly. And it's probably more silly right now. And it's starting to get to that silly phase where it's part silly, part like, it's just everyone shut up. Just everyone shut the fuck up.
I'm
everyone shut the fuck up, including me. Cause I'm going to rant about how stupid this Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins thing is. Like, okay, you just went through, and I get it. It's WWE in 2000. You went through a year long storyline in 3 weeks. And now you get the tag title shot. Now this repairing doesn't mean anything. Roman Reigns is a babyface. Why the fuck aren't all three of them just together again?
What is with the swearing? I thought we were trying to avoid the explicit tag.
Nah, I drank a little bit.
Oh, okay.
I drank a little bit of trivia. Well, this then may explain why we lost, you know, quite a bit. I don't know. We lost really bad. Go ahead. Do wrestling in 2007. Ask me a wrestling related question. Because as 2017, as all of you know, this is Shake Them Ropes. This is episode 225, I think. Thanks everybody for listening. Rob McCarron here, Jeff Hawkins over there. We will be joined later by someone else. Probably not, actually. What's going on?
No, in this day and age of special events,
yeah,
and how they always kind of steer wrestling towards them now, as opposed to like builds of fights and how did you feel about taking the belt off of Neville 1 week before SummerSlam?
It was great. No one would have cared at SummerSlam. It was going to be a pre-show match. It was a title change. No one would have cared. Everyone by the end of the night would have forgotten about it. And at least you get the big moment for the cruiserweights for a week. And then next week, when Brock Lesnar is gone and you don't have as much happening, you can focus again on Akira Tozawa. And you know what? It moves Neville out of the picture because they're going to have their rematch still on the pre-show.
They're on the pre-show.
They are on the pre-show. SummerSlam.
That's the thing. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, I bet Akira Tozawa still wins. And that way you have the moment. You have Akira Tozawa winning on the big show. And then you can kind of move on to whatever else you want to do. I didn't mind it. It was a surprise. Like, that match wasn't even announced beforehand, right? It just all of a sudden shows up. Like, hey, we're going to give Akira Tozawa the title shot now. Because why the hell not?
Yeah, it's just one of those things. Like, for me, it's like I forget now. I mean, there nothing, it seems, matters in terms of I can't remember title histories anymore. I can't remember a lot of things like that. And it always seems to me like, well, if they switch it on television, it's going to be more forgettable than if they do it at a big event. That just always seems to be the way for me. And I don't know if it was just me, but I guess it was at that moment. But I forgot they were on the pre-show, which is also utterly forgettable because when you go to replay events or whatever, they don't play pre-shows on the events. So
they're special. Yeah, you have to go somewhere like Network Originals. Like, who the hell's going to look for that? And you got two title matches. You got the singles match for the Cruiserweight title. You got the SmackDown Tag Team title match. Those right now are the two pre-show matches on SummerSlam until they move Natalya and Naomi onto that show. I'm surprised. And this is not me hating on the women's division of SmackDown. It is me seeing what WWE usually does. And I would actually be surprised if Naomi and Natalya still is on the main show. They may not announce it for the pre-show, but I expect it still to happen on the pre-show when they get to timing everything out, even though the show is 4 hours. I mean, that Brock Lesnar main event with Roman Reigns, Samoa Joe, and Braun Strowman is easily going a half an hour. Easily.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got a whole bunch of others. Alexa Bliss, Sasha Banks, maybe 10 minutes or so. Jinder Mahal, Shinsuke, AJ, Kevin Owens, Randy Orton, Rusev. These are all matches that are getting 10 minutes each, no matter what. No matter what.
Yeah. It's just weird the way that WWE decides their big events need to be timed out. And it's always right now, right after we get out of the G1, which, you know, has these long matches to end it. And we all just, they're two different worlds.
They're two different worlds. And the people who are going to be watching SummerSlam,
yes,
0.01% watch the G1.
I agree.
And 0.00001 actually watch the G1. It's like 0.1 claim to watch the G1 and 0.0000001 actually watched any of the matches outside of the occasional Kenny Omega match.
And before we get into our match by match thing, does TakeOver overshadow SummerSlam again?
God, no. No.
You don't think
neither so neither show overshadows any of the shows. You know what overshadows both shows?
Ric Flair?
Maybe the Ric Flair news. For those who haven't heard,
the main event of SummerSlam?
The main event of SummerSlam is the show of the weekend. Right. No one cares about anything else on that show. I mean, the AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, they've switched the titles back and forth so many times. Who knows what the hell is going on? Is anyone really intrigued with what will Shane McMahon do? Is Shane McMahon going to screw over Kevin Owens? Is he going to re-up his rivalry with AJ Styles? Is he going to call it right down the middle? Which probably he will. Maybe Kevin Owens you know, bumps into him at some point. There's something silly that goes on. Hell, maybe AJ Styles accidentally gets bumped into him by Kevin Owens. And Shane, the stupid motherfucker he is like, oh, AJ, you bumped me. I don't know why you would have done that out of the blue, but I believe you did it, so I'm going to screw you over. Like, something's going to happen there.
Hmm.
And why the hell is Randy Orton in a match with Rusev?
Oh, we'll get to, well, I mean, let's just get into it then.
Why is SummerSlam? That's the question I have. Why is SummerSlam? Man, this weekend. What? You had TakeOver Brooklyn. Well, I mean, all that is to say that the old people who win bar trivia, they're always cheating. Somehow they're always cheating.
You think they're on their phones?
I don't know if they're on their, I don't know.
They know more. They're older.
I think it's because they've lived long enough, and that's cheating. That's cheating to me. You've lived through all this stuff. Like, there was a question about longevity in television shows, and okay, one of the options, like, it was name, you know, these five shows aired a ton of episodes, name them in order, how many episodes they had or whatever, how, you know, how much longer these shows were. And it was the usual ones like Simpsons and Gunsmoke and Law and Order. There was a show they made up called Kraft TV Theater, and like, that's fake. That didn't exist.
That's old school. That's like the 50s.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, guess what? I'm 30. Okay.
Hold on. Let me ask you this, because I want to see if the rage to reward.
If you were living, in the 50s, you're cheating.
What was first place in this stupid bar trivia thing?
Yeah, like a $20 gift certificate to said bar.
No, you should not be this angry then over.
I'm not angry about the prize. I care less about the prize.
You're angry about not winning. You're angry about not winning.
I'm angry about not winning. I'm angry about these 80-year-olds cheating because they were born in the 40s. I mean, come on. What is that?
You're going to live longer, so don't be angry.
If you were 80 years old, would you have been born in the 40s at this point? I don't know how math works.
They're still in their late 70s if they're in their 40s.
Well, yeah.
30s would be 80s.
Oh boy! So how about this Heat Gate at Progress, huh? I mean, my God, what a situation! Oh my gosh! Hey, who? Yeah. Hey, Jeff Hawkins, who won the G1?
Tetsuya Naito.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. I was there was a GIF posted, Kevin Nash versus Tetsuya Naito from TNA. You know that promotion, TNA back in the 2000s. Kevin Nash jackknife powerbombing Tetsuya Naito, covering him, squash match, beauty, thing of beauty. Right guy won, loved it. Stuff like that. Kevin Nash gifts really make the world go round. They pick me up on a slow and boring Monday.
Oh, Monday was slow and boring to you, huh?
Monday was slow and boring. Yeah, I mean, I got home and all of a sudden, like, Finn Balor is in his demon paint again. I'm like, well, Jesus. I mean, who?
Hold on, what do they call that paint? The red hibiscus acidic liquid? It's
acidic,
paint!
Acidic liquid, yeah, as if, you know, Demon Balor was dissolving before our eyes. Like, first of all, I can understand the initial surprise, like, oh, there's goo being poured on me. But really, you're going to be surprised for 15 seconds that goo is being poured on you, and then you just roll around as if it's, debilitating. And maybe you sweep the leg a little bit, Finn. Maybe try and recover. That's why you're not the champion anymore. You're just a pushover. And Bray Wyatt won this match. Do I care that Demon Balor? So now what happens, okay? If Demon Balor is coming back because he's so much better than Finn Balor, and you have this rematch between Demon Balor and Bray Wyatt, and Finn Balor. If Finn Balor as the demon wins this match, okay, and then goes back to not being the demon, like, are you a dumbass? If you are winning these matches as the demon and you win the universal title as the demon, but then you go to Finn Balor and you think you're super cool as Arthur Fonzarelli in this leather jacket and you're coming out here and losing every match, why the hell would you keep wrestling as Finn Balor in the leather jacket and not as the Demon Balor, who's this badass who wins every match? Why would you not do that?
Well, here's my question.
You don't like winning championships?
Is he going to wrestle any different as the demon?
No, he's going to wrestle.
Is he going to be more aggressive, or is it just going to be more spectacle.
He's going to throw his kicks, and he's going to do his little drop kick, and Bray Wyatt's going to do his little kiss on the forehead, and then fake the Sister Abigail, and Finn Balor's going to counter it, and then Bray Wyatt's going to give him a Sister Abigail, and Finn Balor's going to kick out, and Finn Balor's going to go up to the top rope. He's going to give his little coup de grace, and then he's going to, you know, pin, and he's going to do his little celebration with half of his face paint melted off, and everyone, Michael Cole's going to be like, the demon has come back, the demon is the champion, blah, blah, blah. And that's going to be your second match from the open of the show, and then no one's going to remember about the demon entrance. Probably the first match. You think demon goes on first? I mean, that's a crazy entrance. Demon might go on first. Do you do that match in the middle of a 4-hour pay-per-view? Would anyone care about the entrance? You got Shinsuke Nakamura coming on later where he's all entrance right now. This whole pay-per-view until the main event is all entrance.
This is the best show opening drop we're ever going to have. It's, you know, that's going to go along with the one that you have for me for Kane when I rant about whenever Kane comes back. It's always the same. Oh.
Kane's great. First of all, the show's going to be in trouble, too, because my mouse just lost battery power, so now I can't get onto the SummerSlam page, so I don't even know what match is happening. Let's talk about the one match I know is happening, Alexa Bliss versus Sasha Banks. Oh, man, this pay-per-view. I am not thrilled going into the show at all. And I don't know if it's just me losing interest in the WWE or the way it's been lately or the fact that the main event's the only match that's worth a damn. I don't know what's happening here. But, like, just get me to 10 o'clock on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Skip everything else.
I'm kind of the same way.
Skip everything else. Get me to 10 o'clock on Sunday night. Can we let's get on to the real big show of the weekend. Let's talk this GFW Amped special.
I have the lineup for SummerSlam in front of me if you'd like.
All right, I'm gonna do the old iPhone thing where I look it up on my phone because you can do that now in 2017, kids. Apple makes this device where you can get the internet as if it were on your computer, on your telephone, and then you can also make and receive telephone calls. It's the craziest thing. Beyonce actually turned me on to this thing called the telephone.
Did she?
Now let's talk about NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3 happening this Friday or this Saturday. Man, I hate these Saturday takeovers. I wish they were on Wednesdays. Why don't we have Wednesday takeovers anymore? Wednesday takeovers were the best. It felt special. A little 2 hours from, you know, 8 to 10 on a Wednesday night. Talk about it for the week. You don't have Raw to talk about. You don't have SmackDown to talk about. You just do a little NXT takeover. You have someone cool show up, like you have an Adam Cole show up or a Kyle O'Reilly or a Kevin Owens. Know, beating the hell out of Juice Robinson or something like that. Why don't we have Wednesday takeovers anymore? I miss them. I know you make more money selling out an arena in Brooklyn, you know, a second night a week. But man, you got to do these. You have to at least have one. Stop with the all Saturday takeovers. Give us a Wednesday one. And if you're not going to do that, give us another Wednesday show with the sub NXT people. Give us a Tino Sabatelli storyline. Give us a Riddick Moss storyline on there. Give us Kairi Sane. Kairi Sane, you know, after this whole Mae Young Classic, which also is what, 2 weeks away now? Super excited for that. Give us another Wednesday show. Not a 205 Live. Don't make it all storytelly. Just give us a little special little Wednesday show. Call it NXT Part Deux. And that, my friends, is the true meaning of Christmas.
I, too, have opinions. Yeah, okay, so do you have the TakeOver lineup in front of you now?
Well, yeah, why won't you answer my question? Talk about Asuka and Ember Moon.
Oh, I just, you know what? I don't think Ember Moon has risen to that kind of main event. I don't believe that Ember Moon is the person to take the belt off of Asuka now. I just don't. I like Asuka a lot. I like Ember Moon a lot, but... really, in terms of people out there who should be taking off the belt off of Asuka right now, I have it down to Kairi Sane or Sane or however they're going to say it, Bailey or Charlotte. I mean, those are the only three who should give Asuka her first loss right now. Those are the only three. Well, I mean, in terms of not the NXT belt, but giving her first loss necessarily. NXT Bailey is the only person during this long title reign of hers that had any kind of emotional connection to this audience in terms of maybe she can win. Mm-hmm. I don't think Ember Moon has that right now. And I struggle to think that she's going to be the person to dethrone Asuka.
Now in this moment, watch the moon eclipse the sun as the blood begins to run. These are real words sung during Ember Moon's entrance theme. Guess what happens 2 days after TakeOver? A total eclipse of the sun. This is meant to be, man. Ember Moon's winning.
Okay.
Maybe she won't. Because I too think Asuka Kairi Sane is the match for WrestleMania, but not WrestleMania itself, but WrestleMania weekend and NXT. I think that's the match you do.
Yeah.
But Ember Moon, though, I mean, she's fun. She's fun to watch. Her little stunner is a cool move. I love it. I like it.
Yeah, it's nice. It's maybe
the best finisher in history of WWE.
Yeah, it's just on promos. Just has not given me that oomph that I need to think that oh, I'm looking really, really forward to this match. The program to me has kind of been meh.
Yeah, it hasn't felt right. Like, it feels like Ember Moon's time. We talked about this last week on the show. It feels like her time, but it feels like her time because everyone else was beaten so bad. Like, she's just the only one left.
In terms of pure work rate, could the best match of the weekend be Gargano versus Andrade Cien Almas?
No. The best match of the weekend, work rate-wise, will be the main event of the show, SummerSlam. Oh, yeah.
You really think so?
Oh, God, yes.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. Samoa Joe in there and Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns delivers. Brock Lesnar delivers. I mean, everyone in that match delivers. Braun Strowman-wise, not so much. Braun Strowman's a robot. He's Mason Ryan, just bigger and cooler. But the other three in there, oh, yeah. That's going to be the best match of the weekend, because it's not going to be AJ and Kevin Owens. Do people have this idea that Kevin Owens is good in the ring at wrestling?
Well, hold on. That's not the reason why it won't be the match of the weekend. You brought up why it won't be the match of the weekend in any way close, because the intrigue isn't with either Owens nor AJ.
Oh, yeah, that's not the
match.
Story. Oh, that's not the story. It's Shane McMahon. That, by the way, wasn't a shot at Kevin Owens. I love Kevin Owens in the ring. He doesn't have to be this great at wrestling, but it's not match of the fucking night, Kevin Owens. It's just all going to be Shane McMahon. It was a shot at Kevin Owens, you know? I mean, whatever. It wasn't a shot at Kevin Owens. Anyway, Asuka Ember Moon. Yeah, I think Asuka's going to win. I think Kairi Sane does it, but I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised about Ember Moon. She would be the least surprising person in the last 2 years to beat Asuka, but I guess we'll have to wait and see. Johnny Gargano and Andrade Almas. I'm looking forward to that show. That match,
yes.
Andrade Almas, he delivers with everybody. He's had the best match of Bobby Roode's run in NXT. He's had the best match in Roderick Strong's run in NXT. He'll have the best singles match in Johnny Gargano's run so far in NXT, because we're not counting the match at the Cruiserweight Classic with Tommaso Ciampa. So I am looking for Andrade Almas and Johnny Gargano to be the match of TakeOver weekend. Now my question for you, sir, is this where Adam Cole shows up?
You mean the show or the match?
This match.
No. I think he's sitting in the row next to Sergeant Slaughter. And
you think he's
going to
do the sit-down debut, really?
Yes.
That's what NXT does. That's what they did with Drew. It's what they did with Asuka. It's what they do with everybody. I don't think Adam Cole's getting the sit-down debut, because I don't know if anyone in Brooklyn is going to care about Adam Cole.
Right. I agree.
I mean, NXT, the Full Sail Arena didn't care about Kyle O'Reilly when he showed up.
Different fan bases, I think.
If anyone was going to pop super heavy for a Kyle O'Reilly type, it's Full Sail.
Okay.
And they did not care one bit.
I think Andrade Almas may win this one, because you can beat Johnny Gargano up until Tommaso comes back and he'd still have his heat. For that match, that's what we're all waiting for anyway. So beating Gargano here wouldn't really matter, I think. So I think Andrade Almas wins.
You think Andrade Almas is going to get 8 points in the G1 next year?
I think he'll probably be on the main roster, losing to Sami Zayn next year.
Better to lose to Sami Zayn than it would be to Mike Kanellis.
True.
Yeah, it took guts, I will say. As bad as Mike Kanellis is in the ring, as bad as he is at pro wrestling, as bad as he is at getting anyone interested in his matches, as bad as he is at everything pro wrestling related, it took some guts to come out and talk about your addictive past and the things that you went through. So good for Mike Kanellis for finding peace with himself and doing better with his inner self. But man, the guy sucks at wrestling. He's just so bad. I would rather watch Brodus Clay and Braun Strowman in a toe wrestling fight than Mike Kanellis versus anyone in a pro wrestling match, including Hulk Hogan.
What is wrong with you? I'm trying to stay focused, and you're just all over the place tonight.
Well, first of all, I mean, I asked you a simple question about Adam Cole, and then you go off on this tangent about Hulk Hogan that I don't even know what the hell you're talking about. Just answer the question. The people want to know, is Adam Cole going to interfere in Aleister Black's match, causing his first loss? That's what the people want to know.
No. No, of course not. And this match may go too long for the crowd.
Dude, oh my God. I think you're 100% right. I think Aleister Black's getting exposed here.
No, what,
I agree with you that Aleister Black is going to expose himself as a waste of space here. This is your point that I'm agreeing with. And Hideo Itami is going to be, you know, he's going to be the star of this thing. And then Adam Cole's going to show up and everyone's going to be like, why is Adam Cole wasted with Aleister Black? We just exposed him for a fraud. I think you're on top of things with this. You're two steps ahead. Maybe three steps ahead.
Stop trying to get me in trouble with people, will you?
Who would you be in trouble with? I don't understand that question. Man, go ahead.
No, they've been doing this match on the West Coast, and it's been kind of a back and forth thing for a while. So I don't know. I think people just want to see Black kick a guy in the face and get a pin. That's really all they want these days. But I do think Aleister Black wins.
Do people understand that his finisher is Mickey James's finisher? Do people understand this? And Mickey James does it better.
Really?
Yeah.
This
week was a bad example because that Emma match with Mickey James on Raw, I was so disappointed because I wanted Emma and Mickey James to go out there and be like, you know, steal the show with this cool little match and Emma to get momentum about how she's a badass in the ring. Emma hasn't looked right since she's come back. That match was a disaster and I was so sad about it.
Mm-hmm.
I was so sad about it because that was so bad. It was pathetic. And if I were Vince McMahon, I'd fire Emma right there. But luckily, I'm not.
Really?
Look, oh, man.
You thought that was on her then?
Probably more so, yeah. More so on Emma.
Okay.
It was just bad. The blame doesn't belong to any one person in that.
No.
But if you were going to put it on somebody, it's Emma. I wouldn't do that, though. I wouldn't do that.
Is the main question coming out of this tag team title match whether or not the Authors of Pain get to do a move on Nikki Cross?
Well, I hope that doesn't happen. Nikki Cross is the star of the show, though.
Yes.
I mean, she's the best thing going. Sanity, Authors of Pain, do not care one single bit about this at all. Don't care. Tag team titles in NXT right now, who cares? You could bring up Tino and Riddick Moss right now, probably still wouldn't care. If you team Red Dragon together, however, that would be pretty cool. I mean, people have seen Red Dragon for the last several years, but I think at NXT, even going up against the bigger guys, I think they would do a better job than Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano did.
Hmm. Okay.
I'd be hyped for it if they do that. Maybe they'll do like you got the ROH guys coming in. You got Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, and Bobby Fish. You got them coming in as a trio, if you will. You could do something with Sanity there. You could do something, a little trios action with Sanity, fighting over the tag team titles, do a couple of free bird rules gimmicks where you have the, you know, two different combinations fighting.
Sanity, hold on. Sanity's not winning the belts here. Authors of Pain are keeping them.
Oh, well,
right?
I would think so. Huh. But you have an opening there on both the Raw tag team side and the SmackDown tag team side. You have openings for somebody to go up there. And if I was picking one team to go up there, it would be Authors of Pain and not Sanity.
Okay. Fair enough.
If I was forced to fire everyone in the team, I'd fire Sanity. Except for Nikki Cross. Keep Nikki Cross. She's the best. She's the greatest. She should be the one who beats Asuka and Kairi Sane in the same show.
At the same time.
Chris Jericho time. Yep.
Stacked on top of one another.
I wouldn't do a triple threat match. I would do two singles matches, and Nikki Cross beats both of them in 50 seconds combined.
Okay.
Nikki Cross is great. I mean, obviously you wouldn't do that, but Nikki Cross is fantastic. I love her so far. She's really come into her own in the last year.
Question about the main event.
Hold on.
Oh.
Before we get to the main event, lots of rumors that Pete Dunne was going to defend the UK title on the show, but he's hurt, so he may not be able to defend it. He may still defend it, but right now there's no advertisement of a Pete Dunne UK title match. If he cannot compete and they still add a sixth match, do you think Cassius Ohno gets on the show? Do you think it's maybe a surprise sixth match? Do we get something else? Like, if there were to be a sixth match, what would you guess it to be?
Multi-person tag, probably involving some of the UK guys and some of the guys that aren't on the show.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see something like a Mustache Mountain versus Roddy and Ohno.
Yeah, there you go. Something like that. Sure. I feel like we might get a sixth match. This is going to be a 2.5 hour show, and Bobby Roode, Drew McIntyre ain't going 20 minutes.
You know, I could see us get, but then again, I could also see us getting Street Profits versus Riddick Moss and Tino Sabatelli.
Yeah, I don't. Maybe as a pre-show match. I don't think that's happening. So anyway, Jeff Hawkins was about to ask a question about the main event of the show, which is Bobby Roode versus Drew McIntyre.
Far be it for me to think such things, but is the underlying question of this match whether or not Roddy Strong gets involved also? Have we gotten to that point where we don't care about this match insofar as we're waiting to see what a third person does after tonight's NXT?
I'm not super intrigued by Roderick Strong getting in here.
I agree.
I don't feel like Roderick Strong is really in that place right now. Like, I felt like the whole time Roderick Strong was going up against Bobby Roode, it was just as a bridge because they had so much time between the last takeover and now that they had to do something until the real guy got in. I mean,
I've reversed. I think Roddy's the guy to beat Roode now in their mind. Because that's the way they've been building this story. They've made Drew kind of an afterthought. I think that, and then Drew turns heel eventually.
But he's not an afterthought, man. He's the top guy.
I agree.
He's the top guy. He should be Jinder Mahal right now.
I'm fascinated by Roode working from underneath against a guy bigger than him. This will be the first time he does that, really, other than an Ohno match. In terms of a big match.
Cassius Ohno is so... Is he done? Is he done,
no.
You think? Cassius Ohno?
Why? No.
Is he done? I'm just asking. He's done nothing. He doesn't show up on takeovers anymore. Like,
I think he's reached his level.
This is indie superstar Chris Hero, for Christ's sake. You're signing indie superstars, and you won't put Cassius Ohno on any of the shows?
I agree.
It seems a little odd. Just a little bit odd. But that's just me. Main event of the show, Bobby Roode, Drew McIntyre. Who wins the NXT World Heavyweight Championship of Earth?
Bobby Roode.
Bobby Roode retains. This Bobby Roode thing has to end soon. It's got to end. Drew McIntyre's winning.
Really?
Drew McIntyre's winning. I'm betting $500 on the sports books that Drew McIntyre will win the NXT title and become the new face of Florida. That's just one show on the weekend, fellas. This big old show coming up. Man, we took a half an hour to talk TakeOver. We're going to have to speed it up here on SummerSlam.
I agree.
I felt like we've already talked about every single match in the show on the show.
I feel like you've talked about every match, and I've kind of been here.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Hi.
How are you doing? How are you? Good? Yeah? You good?
Oh, sure.
Good. Akira Tozawa, Neville, rematch. 7 days in the making. Akira Tozawa is going to retain. Titus O'Neil, Apollo Crews, and Akira Tozawa celebrating on Raw was the best thing ever. Titus O'Neil is great. The Titus Worldwide gimmick should expand and feature a intercontinental champion. Don't know who that would be. Probably not the old Jason Jordan fella. Is Jason Jordan Miz even announced for the show yet?
No.
Well, that's crazy. That match is going to get announced. It's going to kick Naomi and Natalya down to the pre-show. I'm calling it right now. How do you not do that? How do you not have Jason Jordan on the pay-per-view? This whole, he's supposed to be like the biggest star on Raw right now. He's Kurt Angle's son.
Was the on-camera celebration better than the social media videos of the road trips of those three and Sasha Banks?
I like the road trips. I like the social media. I think they're doing a good groundswell of support for these guys. And it's showing because TV, you know, the TV audiences care a lot more about these guys. And Akira Tozawa is getting over, you know, more and more each day. Yeah, I like what they're doing with it. It's a fun group. They should be allowed to be a fun group. They shouldn't be, you know, super baby faces. They shouldn't be super heels. They can just be fun. I mean, I guess that would be super baby faces. Better not heal.
Would you rather have Sasha or Dana Brooke as a member of Titus Worldwide?
No, Sasha.
Really?
Oh yeah.
I think Sasha is one of those people who would be brought down by being part of Titus Worldwide.
Yeah, but I'm not worried about bringing Sasha Banks down right now. You understand?
Okay. Okay.
I mean, I don't, I think Alexa Bliss is the player in that game. So you can give Sasha Banks something to do. It allows, you know, more women. If you have this small women's division and it seems like unless they're in a singles match with somebody and you only have one title to fight for, unless they're in a singles match, you're not really putting them on TV that much. So let Sasha Banks roll with this crew. You can do Sasha Banks matches with titles worldwide against the Emmas of the world, against other things, but that allows Alexa Bliss and the Nia Jax and other individuals to be in the women's title picture. So it allows more time on television for the women's division. Sasha Banks doesn't always have to be the one on top.
Akira Tozawa wins. We're united on that.
We are united on that front.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Akira Tozawa will win. What if Neville challenges Pete Dunne for the UK title at TakeOver? That would be silly. I mean, Neville's already got a title match at SummerSlam. What the hell are you talking about, Rob? Mike Kanellis is not on the show. Sami Zayn is not on the show. We don't have The Miz and Jason Jordan on this show yet. Are we missing any glaring individuals who do not have a match on this show?
Charlotte, Becky Lynch, Bailey.
You got the weird... You don't know what the Hardys are going to do yet. You don't know what Gallows and Anderson are going to do yet. It seems like we're still like three matches away from this card being complete, which would give it 13 matches on the main show, which can't happen. I guess you're just holding some things off for the single brand shows that are coming up, because in between SummerSlam and Survivor Series, we have two Raw pay-per-views. So they could actually be holding off Jason Jordan and The Miz. That would make sense, because you have a pay-per-view in September and a pay-per-view in October for Raw. There is only one SmackDown pay-per-view in between SummerSlam and Survivor Series. So Raw gets two, SmackDown gets one. So you got to do all these SmackDown matches on this big pay-per-view, but I suppose you could hold off the Raw matches. You have two other pay-per-views to fill, with possibly no Brock Lesnar on those shows, and John Cena, who knows? So, that makes sense. Maybe we won't get a Jason Jordan and Miz title match, although it seems like now's the time. Now's the time to do that one. But anyway, I think Akira Tozawa is winning. The other pre-show match, New Day, the Usos, SmackDown Tag Team titles. If you have not been keeping track, the New Day are the tag team champions. Big E, Xavier Woods, do you think that's the pairing that will wrestle at SummerSlam, or will the New Day change it up?
They've announced that as the pairing. I assume they're going to go with that as the pairing. I really liked the match on SmackDown. I thought that was a nice thing.
They've announced it as a pairing, but the whole idea was last time they took Big E out, right? They took Big E out so that the Usos wouldn't be quite amazed. I could see them announcing a combo and then, all of a sudden someone's, you know, fake hurt. And it's like, we're switching it up one more time. Like Xavier Woods is out. You're going to have to wrestle Kofi versus Xavier. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking too much into it. I would go New Day. I would go New Day retain tag team titles. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Agreed.
Naomi and Natalya. I'm doing this match now because it could be on the main show, could be on the pre-show. I think it'll be on the pre-show eventually. Naomi is going to retain. There's no chance in hell Natalya is ever holding that title.
I agree. I don't understand the hype over this match. I struggle to think that they have Carmella cash in after this match, but you know what? I think they may just do something wacky with the women's Money in the Bank. So I'm just going to leave it as Naomi wins.
Wackier than John Cena and Baron Corbin getting into their little tiff. Like, they use Baron Corbin's cash-in and failure to do a go home promotion of Baron Corbin versus John Cena. Like, Baron's supposed to be so upset now at John Cena and going out there for revenge. First move will be a lockup, but they're going out for revenge. Okay. Cause Baron Corbin lost his title opportunity. First of all, that was wacky. Like, I didn't expect that. Baron Corbin no longer has the Money in the Bank match. It not only adds something to the John Cena Baron Corbin match, or at least attempted to add to it. The more intriguing thing was what it does to the Jinder Mahal Shinsuke Nakamura, because a lot of people, I would imagine, were thinking, okay, Shinsuke wins and Baron Corbin knocks him out and takes the title in a cash-in. Well, now you don't have that option. If Shinsuke Nakamura wins, he will be the SmackDown World Champion. So this adds a couple of intriguing things to a couple of matches. But John Cena, Baron Corbin, this is just a throwaway John Cena match on a pay-per-view, and a throwaway match that 2 years ago even, and especially before that, we would have never thought John Cena would lose. Like, come on. But is he on the SmackDown farewell tour? Could he be going to the Raw brand for a couple of pay-per-view matches, like, before he goes on his exodus during the winter holiday months? Like, is he going to put Baron Corbin over? Is Baron Corbin going to be that guy who got the big win on John Cena and then main events some SmackDown shows? This one is kind of a toss-up to me.
Yeah, let me say two things about that cash-in. Number one, I would have liked it 2 weeks out to give this extra week to build some heat about Baron Corbin being angry about losing the match.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. Like, we say that we can make things make sense in our minds a lot of times, and they may not be thinking that, but this cash-in made sense to me. This is the second week in a row the Singh brothers weren't around, and the second week in a row he took a big finisher. I liked that they didn't make Baron Corbin look stupid by not cashing in again. It made complete and total sense to me. Especially after last week when Jinder took the RKO, and it was like, why aren't you going down now to cash in, dummy? You know, after a second rope attitude adjustment. Yes, I liked everything about that. I am of the opinion that John Cena can lose clean here, and he will still show up on Raw and be in the main event scene doing a shabba-da-doo. I'm here to be entertaining to the people, and I'm a free agent. Look at me, you know, that kind of crap. So I think John Cena loses here.
He is a free agent. He is the freest of agents. He can go anywhere he wants to, if he wants to go, he can go anywhere. I love that that's his nickname now. It's the free agent John Cena. Like, really?
Much really? Like Undertaker, he is not tied down to any one brand.
That was a wacky, embarrassing end to the Undertaker. He gives the SmackDown speech like, oh, we're Team SmackDown. You got to go win that match for Team SmackDown. And SmackDown wins. He's never seen again until WrestleMania time. And all of a sudden, he's on Raw exclusively. And then he just decides, you know what? I quit. There, he said it. Undertaker's a quitter. What do we got next? Alexa Bliss, Sasha Banks. This match is for the Raw Women's Championship of the World. Alexa Bliss is going to retain. Sasha Banks is going to lose, this was not supposed to be Sasha Banks' time. This was supposed to be Alexa Bliss versus Bayley. Could Bayley have won it? Will they give the match to Sasha Banks? Could Sasha Banks run with this opportunity that she wasn't going to get into another title reign, maybe a long reign? And then when Bayley returns, do the old Bayley-Sasha Banks program that we know they've been wanting to do? And that seems to be, maybe it's early, because I would think Bayley Sasha Banks would be the WrestleMania program. Like, you have a really big women's title match on the Raw side, and that would be it. That would be your WrestleMania match. Could they hold it off? Could Sasha Banks lose? Eventually, Bayley or Sasha Banks wins the title, and then they do Bayley Sasha Banks. I don't know. What says you, Mr. Jeff Hawkins, connoisseur of Raw women's wrestling?
Well, we have to start off with the whole Bayley situation, because it appears that this is just a worked injury to get her out of the match.
Worked injury?
Yes.
This is fake? She's not actually hurt? Why? What would Bayley's motivation be to play hurt?
No. Okay, Rob. Don't do this to me right now. I'm trying to make a point here. I think there is a chance that Sasha wins here and that they bring back Bayley to turn Bayley heel. I do. I think Bayley may end up going to the dark side for some reason.
Well, that's what you said, right? You said she's playing hurt, or are you saying that WWE is faking the injury, that the character Bayley is actually hurt, but the person Bayley is not? What are you saying?
Correct. That is what I'm saying.
Okay. I thought you were implying that Bayley was playing hurt for some reason.
No.
That would be Bayley's gimmick, though. I mean, she asked for a Singapore cane match and then doesn't use the canes. This would be her idea. Like, I'm going to fake being hurt and get out of this title match. And then someone will ask her, okay, what's in it for you? And she's like, I don't know. I'm just going to run with it. I'm going to try it. You idiot, Bayley. You idiot.
But I could also just see them just deciding that, you know, the real money's in Nia and Alexa. Let Alexa retain and then have Sasha lose for some reason. I don't know.
Hey, can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I want to tell you something.
Okay.
There is no money in Nia and Alexa.
I know that and you know that.
$0.
I think there's no money in anything in terms of a feud anymore. Anywho, but whatever. I think I'm going to go with my gut and say Alexa Bliss retains.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that too. I'm going to go with Alexa Bliss retains. There's going to be a lot of retaining on the show, except for this match, Shinsuke Nakamura, Jinder Mahal, a match for the WWE title. This is the SmackDown title. It's the black belt of WWE. Shinsuke Nakamura is going to beat Jinder Mahal, and he's going to reign supreme as the WWE champion heading into Survivor Series, where he will wrestle AJ Styles for the belt. Boom. Exploded your heads.
That Jinder segment on SmackDown was one of the most baffling things, I think, in WWE history for me. Because it was so sincere in terms of the celebration and the happiness, and we were meant to boo it. Which is just dumb. It's dumb thinking. I disagree. I don't think Shinsuke gets the belt, but I think he wins by DQ.
Don't give us a DQ finish for the company's top title. And it really isn't the company's top title at this point. I mean, hell, Jinder Mahal's one champion, Brock Lesnar's the other. It's not the top belt. Just give us a finish. If Jinder Mahal wins clean, that's fine too. It really is. Just give us someone who's better than the other person, okay? Jinder Mahal just lost to John Cena. John Cena, the guy that Shinsuke Nakamura beat. So Jinder Mahal right now is third on the totem pole of these top guys on SmackDown. So let Shinsuke beat him, or let Jinder beat Shinsuke. Just do something. Do something and commit to it. Commit to the role. That's all I ask. AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, Shane McMahon will play into the finish. Whether that helps Kevin, whether that helps AJ, not really sure. I can see them doing the swerve of Shane McMahon punches out AJ because he thinks AJ, you know, sucker punched him or something because Kevin Owens was too smart for Shane McMahon. Kevin Owens is going to get the win. And he'll be the United States champion again. He'll be the face of America once more.
Disagree. I think there's going to be chicanery up the yazoo. I think it's going to end up where, I think Shane's going to end up punching AJ at one point. Probably he's going to end up kicking Kevin Owens at another point. And the whole thing is going to be about what are Shane's motives here? And why is he blah, blah, blah. And it's going to end up being Kevin Owens gets pinned, but he has his shoulder up and Shane probably doesn't see it. Or something of that nature to build on to Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon.
Who do you think Daniel Bryan will wrestle in his first match back on the Indies?
Zack Sabre Jr. in PWG.
I would think Kenny Omega would be the first bet.
Okay.
That'd be Kenny Omega. Now, maybe you build up to a big Kenny Omega match somewhere. Maybe he goes to New Japan. Maybe it's in Ring of Honor. I don't know. Maybe you don't do Kenny Omega right away. I mean, hell, Daniel Bryan was wrestling Eddie Kingston in a flea market when he was fired from WWE the first time. Not the first time.
Where does he wrestle? Where's the first place he wrestles? New Japan, Ring of Honor, or PWG?
Neither.
TNA? GFW?
AIW.
Really?
AAW. Or AIW somewhere. Beyond wrestling.
Okay.
Style battle.
Wrestle circus.
Kurt Stallion in style battle. Kurt Stallion, the guy who can't wrestle, and Daniel Bryan, the guy who shouldn't wrestle.
Okay.
That would be your match. John Cena, Baron Corbin. John Cena, I don't know. Did we pick this match already? Did Baron Corbin win?
Did
Baron Corbin beat John Cena?
I think it's clean, yeah. I think Baron Corbin beats him.
Finn Balor, Bray Wyatt, don't care. Stupid. Not going to watch this match. I'm going to watch Sunday Night Baseball from the Little League Park. I'm going to watch Cardinals, Pirates from Williamsport. That's what I'm going to do during this match. Big Show, Big Cass. Can't believe this match is happening. The Shark Cage is back. Enzo Amore is going to be up there. Do we get a fourth person involved in this? Does something happen? Does Enzo Amore drop his wig from the top to try and help Big Show? Does Big Cass just beat Big Show clean and then pull down the cage, the Shark Cage, and then totally murder Enzo Amore?
I think that's the most likely thing, is that Enzo drops a chain and Cass gets it and hits Big Show, and then Big Show beats the crap out of Enzo. That, I mean, I've been thinking heel turn by one of these two the entire time, but I don't think that's going to be it. I just think Enzo's going to think he has to do too much. He's going to piss off Big Show, and Big Cass will win by hitting whatever Enzo drops out of this cage, and then Big Show will probably kill Enzo, much to the delight of Vince McMahon.
RKO 1-2-3.
Yes.
Cesaro and Sheamus versus Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. This match is for the Raw Tag Team titles. We do not have a SmackDown. Oh, we do have a SmackDown Tag Team title match. We don't have a Fashion Police. There's another team not on the show. No Ascension. Mm-hmm. No Arn Anderson.
Hype Bros, not on this.
No Hype Bros. No, randomly, WWE's YouTube page randomly just uploaded Zack Ryder's entrance video the other day. And I was like, that's weird. Did Zack Ryder get fired? Did Zack Ryder die? Did something happen with Zack Ryder? Why are they randomly putting up his entrance video?
This is the time to go into your rant about Seth and Dean.
I don't even want to rant about it anymore. This was just so dumb. Like,
You played it up. I was waiting for it. I was waiting to hear about it.
Man, they do the little brother fight. Like, we're brother. I just, 3 weeks ago, Dean Ambrose was doing the hugging. They fought together. It was, you know, reminiscent of old times, but Dean Ambrose didn't quite trust Seth Rollins. He wasn't ready to just let Seth Rollins back in his head, because he knows what Seth Rollins is capable of. He knew firsthand what Seth Rollins had done and thought about Dean Ambrose. And then the next week, we get the little talk, like Seth Rollins is there with his hair down, then his hair up, because editing, you have them talking, and it's like, oh, I can't believe you don't trust me. And Dean Ambrose is like, oh, I don't trust you. And Seth Rollins is like, man, that sucks. And Dean Ambrose is like, yeah, but that's life. And then a week later, you have Dean Ambrose throwing the arm down. And Seth Rollins, this guy who for 2 weeks was begging to be let back into the party, is like, you know what? I'm tired of being not let back into the party. I'm just going to go away. I'm going to turn my back on you. And Dean Ambrose rightfully was pissed and miffed even. Like, what are you doing? Like, you're the asshole who betrayed me, so I took a couple of weeks to get over it. Listen, pal, you don't get to walk away from me. And he tells him that. He tells him that this week. He's like, what are you doing walking away from me? You're an idiot. And Seth Rollins does it again. Like, the balls on this guy. And then they get in their little tiff. They get in a little fight. It's the coolest thing Dean Ambrose has done in 3-4 years was that fight with Seth Rollins. Like, beating him up. Just going crazy. Dean Ambrose looked like a badass. Now, granted, the moment where they finally touch hands after the big brawl with Cesaro and Sheamus, that was cool. My issue isn't that it was not cool, and that finally Dean Ambrose serious with Seth Rollins is a much better character for Dean Ambrose. That's not my issue. You had a year's worth of storylines that could have played into Roman Reigns, doesn't have to, but could have, in 3 weeks. And the issue is Dean Ambrose did not trust Seth Rollins a week ago. And all of a sudden, they're brothers again now. That's not how trust works. That's not how brothership and brotherhood works.
But they win the tag titles.
I hope Seth Rollins beats the shit out of Dean this week. And he's like, you dumbass. What were you thinking?
They're winning the tag titles.
They are winning the tag team titles. And honestly, it's good. It's going to be good. Those two in the tag team division right now is much better for the both of them. It's much better for the Raw tag team division. You can do Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose versus Anderson and Gallows versus the Hardy Boys versus the Revival. LOL, they're dead. versus Cesaro and Sheamus. You could do all these matches, and it's so much better for those two because you have Finn Balor right now as a big top babyface. You have Roman Reigns as a big top babyface. You have Samoa Joe and Braun Strowman up there because those guys don't have title matches to be a part of right now. Putting them in the tag team division gives them something important to do. It is a net positive that they are back together in this tag team division. It is just so wonky and ridiculous how they got there.
I agree.
That's SummerSlam. I don't want to talk about Glow this week because I haven't watched that episode in like 3 weeks. I got to start reviewing some of these last episodes.
Hold on. We're not done with SummerSlam. Who wins the main event?
Oh, we have one more match. The most exciting. Go figure. I feel like I've been talking about this match for 5 weeks because it's the best match of all time. Brock Lesnar is losing. Braun Strowman's winning.
Huh. I think Brock wins.
Braun Strowman is going to be your WWE Universal Champion, and he's going to defend against Roman Reigns at the next pay-per-view.
I just got asked a question on Twitter. Have I found a way to bring up Lars from NXT yet?
I feel like we have to dedicate a whole special episode to him.
Okay.
Lars is going to be the dude, man. He's going to be good. He's going to be great. He can be the guy who beats Brock Lesnar. I think Brock Lesnar's done. I think Brock Lesnar loses, and he's going to do that fight with Jon Jones, or he's going to just be away for a while. I think he's done. I think he's done. And he could be leveraging all this into a match or a bigger payday from WWE. Very well could be happening. But he could also work WWE after a Jon Jones fight because he's done that already. He can do the UFC fight, and he still knows Vince will come crying back to him. But I think Braun Strowman's going to be your WWE Universal Champion. Someone other than Brock is winning. I do not believe that Brock will win this match. I don't think it'll be Roman either, because I think the story is Roman has to go to WrestleMania to try and find his title back. And it does suck that you did not get to do the Brock Lesnar-Roman Reigns singles match as part of that. And maybe it could still happen, but if it doesn't happen, it sucks that it won't happen. So I think your story is Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman heading into WrestleMania if you dare go back to that match. I don't think Samoa Joe's getting the title. I could see it. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Braun Strowman walks away as the Universal Champion, and it'll be very intriguing what happens going into Raw.
Okay.
We'll talk about Glow next week. Got to review the episode, got to have better thoughts about it. It's a big week. I mean, it is TakeOver SummerSlam. This is the second biggest weekend of the year for WWE pay-per-view-wise. It just does not feel like that at all, but it's true.
You got to bone up on your Glow trivia before coming here?
I'll bone up on all my trivia. I got a bone up on everything, man. I was really bad. And these, you know, these elderly folks who are our greatest generation.
Just what's wrong with you?
Dominating trivia, man.
It's these bar names. Trivia in Indiana. For God's sake, man.
So I'm not a super hunk, okay? So I'm not Mr. Olympia, okay?